I'm Samantha Bove, and this is She's Too Much. This show is for the woman who's been told that she dreams too much, talks too much, cares too much, thinks too much, feels too much, needs too much. And I say it's about damn time that we are even more, because that thing you think makes you too much is the exact thing the world needs more of. So right now I'm on a 4-week road trip with my man in an RV, and we are currently stationed in Ojai. I am on the side of the road looking at these really beautiful horses go by. And last night we were sitting around a campfire just chatting, and whoa, I got to the root of where my people pleasing comes from. And once that clicked in, this entire episode flowed out of me. And if you experience people pleasing in your life, if you find yourself feeling guilty when you don't do the things that other people want you to and just feeling really bad about it, if you are curious about the root of where your people pleasing may come from, especially if you were raised with parental figures who were emotionally unstable and unpredictable, if you're curious how people pleasing is actually a selfish thing to do, and most importantly, if you really want to know how to break free from this pattern of people pleasing, then this is the episode that I think was brought here from the cosmos through me straight to you in your heart. So enjoy. Okay, so what sparked this episode for me was that I have been spending more time with my family in the last month than I probably have in the past 10 years because I had two pretty much back-to-back weddings. And my partner has been here for all of this. And what's been really interesting is when you have a partner who is, to me, a sacred mirror, right? They're mirroring parts to you of yourself that you could never see unless you were seeing yourself and the world through their eyes, reflecting your divinity, your greatness, but also the darkness inside of you and the things that need tending to. I don't think I ever would have really noticed how intense my guilt was when I didn't do the things that my family wanted me to do. Simple things like leaving, you know, a gathering at the time that I want to leave because I'm tired. I did it the other night and I laid in bed and I felt so guilty about not spending the 13th hour with my family as if I owed it to them or it was my responsibility. And this could show up for you in the sense of, you know, RSVPing no to a party instead of RSVPing yes, leaving somewhere early or being the first one to leave and then feeling really bad about it, or not answering an email or a text or a DM for days and you just feel like, oh, I just feel bad. So defining people pleasing, number one, is for me, it's attempting to predict the response of someone's reactions and then altering your decisions and bypassing your needs in order to appease them. And so essentially, it's doing the thing that you think will make someone else more comfortable, doing the thing that you think someone wants you to do, even if it means making yourself uncomfortable and or sacrificing your own joy. So why do we do this and where does this come from? And let me tell you, I don't think I'm like a traditional people pleaser in the sense that I really do what I want most of the time. I live a very untraditional life, yet I still struggle with these feelings of guilt around the choices that I make to honor myself. So where does this come from? And for everybody, it could come from an entirely different place. And I've found the root, at least, of one of the reasons why I feel this sense of guilt and obligation and need to people please. So when we're younger, we do not have the ability like we do in adulthood to regulate our own emotions. Kids need co-regulation, which is love from the safe people around you in order for you to feel supported, calm, safe, and regulated. But if you grew up in an environment where that love was not given freely, and you had a parent or a guardian whose emotional response was unpredictable, then you develop coping mechanisms to protect yourself, really safety mechanisms. And these mechanisms will keep the people around you happy, or at least just not freaking out or, you know, saying abusive things, so that you can get the love and the safety and the protection that you need as a kid. And so these coping mechanisms in childhood are what many of us are still carrying around today in adulthood. And that's called people pleasing. And so I'm going to give a very honest story about in meditation. I took myself to the root of where I first learned that I had to hide my joy or just hide any of my emotions in order to keep myself safe. I needed to prioritize someone else's emotions above my own. And I went back to a time period in my life right after my parents got divorced. And I was about 7, and my dad moved in actually with his ex-girlfriend. Apparently they were friends, who knows? And she became my stepmom. And my stepmom and my mom did not have any relationship, definitely not a good one. And I learned after the first time I went to my dad's house, I went there Tuesdays and Thursdays and every other weekend. So pretty much half the week I was at my dad's, half the week I was at my mom's. And my dad's was a really good time. Like, I really loved my stepmom. My dad was just so present, and we watched movies and, you know, we did normal family things. And I would come back from my dad's and my mom would ask me, hey, you know, how was your dad's? And if I said, oh, it was really fun, we did this, she would have a big response about it. And as a single mom who's doing the absolute best that she can, you know, she would express her dissatisfaction and anger at the situation that, you know, I was having a good time at my dad's. Deep down, I knew she wanted me to be happy. Now I know this, but as a kid, it seemed like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not allowed to come home to mom's and express my joy, because when I express my joy, she gets really upset. And if she's really upset, I feel really unsafe as a 7-year-old. So then I wouldn't say anything when I got home, and I would keep it really vague. But then she would get upset because she felt like I was keeping secrets from her, which is understandable. You want to know what your kids are up to when you don't see them half the time. And so I say all of this truly with love in my heart, because I know that she didn't have the tools to regulate her own emotional response to a child. And I really forgive her for that. And that doesn't change the fact that I learned that, okay, I need to dim my light in order to keep myself safe. I need to dim my light so that I don't shine a mess on the stuff that my mother really needed to work out on her own. And so my partner, he has this amazing metaphor about a dirty room. And so I want you to imagine for a second that you have a friend who has a really dirty room, but they always keep their lights off, so they don't really know just how dirty it is. Just imagine it, piles of dirty clothes everywhere, old pizza boxes, weed thrown about. It's like really filthy. There is no dusting happening here. But their lights are off, so they can't really see it and they don't really feel that bad about it. But then you come over and you are pure light. You are glowing and glistening. And when you walk in, you shine your light all over their mess. And then they get mad at you for showing up and showing them that they have some stuff that they need to tend to and clean up. And so people pleasing is either A, you feel guilty that your light made them so uncomfortable and you dim. B, you dim your light before you even walk into the room. This is an adaptive coping mechanism. It's a safety response. You dim your light before you even walk in the room so that they don't have to see their mess, okay? For example, I did that with my mom. I dimmed my light. I dimmed my joy, so that she didn't have to look at the areas in herself that she really needed to heal around her divorce and the separation of her family. And now I find myself doing that still in adulthood by just holding back my joy, holding back how much I genuinely am fulfilled by my work, how joyful and satisfying and, God, just so good my relationship is. Because I don't want other people to feel bad. I don't want other people to have to look at the mess in their lives. And then C, people pleasing is also spending the rest of our days, weeks, years, or even lives trying to help all of the people clean up their messes, even though you didn't make the mess and you have a whole house that you need to tend to yourself. So an example of this is listening to your friend complain about the same terrible relationship year after year after year, but never saying, hey, you need to take out the trash, but if you can, I understand. I just need to honor myself, and I'm not going to be able to come over as much here because this room stinks and it's making me nauseous. Granted, you're going to say that in a whole better way, but you get the point. That's people pleasing. And if you're curious about how to get to the root of where some of your people pleasing may come, I have a whole meditation on this. Just DM me people pleasing and I'll get that over to you. Okay. So now, how do we break this pattern of people pleasing? And also, why continuing to people please is actually one of the most selfish things that you can do to the people in your life. The simplest, best, easiest, and hardest thing that you can do that I am actively declaring that I am going to do is just shine. Even in the darkest places, even if you feel like you're bragging a little bit, you shine. And so the relationship example, I'm making a declaration to not only share the truth of my relationship to people who have a predictable response. What do I mean by that? I typically only share things in my relationship with the people who I know are either A, in incredible relationships and they're super in love and super in like with their partners, or I share it with people who are in a place where they're really open and ready to be inspired around a dream relationship and they're single and in a place of really wanting to call that in and feeling like they are, you know, at a place where they deserve and can manifest that partner. Now, I usually don't share a lot of details about my relationship and stories and just my energy, my joy with people who either A, I know maybe have a few areas in their relationship that they're really, really struggling in, or B, people who are single, but in a place where they're frustrated, where they don't have their partner yet, and they're feeling doubt. Why do I do that? Well, because I don't want to make people feel bad. And granted, there's an art to this, and this is a more nuanced conversation. And I trust that if somebody's crying about, you know, the lack of sex that they're having in a relationship, you don't tell them that you're having incredible sex with your partner every single day, right? That's not the time. There's also a time and a consideration and so much compassion that needs to go into these conversations. And I declare, and I hope that you can declare, that the areas of your life that are really working, even if you don't know what those areas are like in other people's relationships, you go ahead and you shine that light. Because truly, what I have to remind myself is that when I was in the wrong relationship, and honestly, a very unhealthy and in many ways an abusive relationship and manipulative relationship, it was the people, even strangers that I saw online sharing their love stories all out, that played such a huge role in inspiring me and building my belief system of being a woman who is worthy of such a better, more loving relationship. And you never know how your light is going to impact someone. And yes, it may make them uncomfortable because it is going to shine on the areas of their life that are messy, but it's their choice and their responsibility whether or not they want to do something with it. Another example is my work. So I was at my sister's bachelorette party not that long ago, and I knew that most of the women had 9-to-5s. And just based on the conversations, I could tell they weren't, say, in love with their jobs. And you know, when you're about to say something and you kind of think about it in your head first, I was about to express on the last day of the trip, I'm so excited to get home tomorrow to get to work. And I was going to stop myself. And then I said, you know what? This is my truth. This is my light. This is who I am. This is the life that I have. And so I said the statement, and one of the women was like, oh my God, what is that like to look forward to your work and not dread it? And I told her exactly how it felt in my body, in my being, to truly love the work that I do so much. And I know for a fact now that those conversations these people tell me, whether it's relationship or work or any other area of my life that I can shine my light on, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And I actually think that it would be selfish of us to dim our lights in order to make people, you know, stay in their comfort zones. It's not our jobs as humans. It's not our jobs as friends is to just walk around people's garbage. I really think that our jobs is to help people clean it up by shining a light and saying, hey, it kind of stinks in here. Hey, it's feeling a little stale. what if we brighten it up a little bit? And for the people that you're close to and your chosen people that you choose to like physically help and be there for, you can even say, hey, and I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to help you clean it up. Now, the second, let's say, reminder that I am going to come back to again and again to help me break this pattern of people pleasing is reminding myself that doing anything that I don't want to do just because I'm trying to avoid evoking an emotional response out of someone else or making them uncomfortable is me showing up as an inauthentic version of myself. And showing up as an inauthentic version of you, I believe, is a selfish act. It's an adaptive response, though. So don't feel bad about it if you're feeling like you are very inauthentic in certain areas of your life, because if you grew up with an emotionally dysregulated, emotionally unpredictable caregiver, well, of course you're going to change and withhold parts of your personality because you want to make sure that you're going to be able to still get that love. But I just want to remind you right now, you're an adult and likely you have adults around you. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have friends and family members who are hopefully on a more conscious path. And so the likelihood of them hurting you physically or verbally or just abandoning you is very, 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 very low. Okay. So showing up authentically, I believe that it is not fair for anyone to have an inauthentic version of me. It's definitely not fair for me. It's definitely not fair for the people around me. But I also don't think it's fair for anyone that you come in contact with. And I believe that I would so much rather have people experience the real me or just less of me or none of me at all, right? Those are the options. I don't want anyone to have a watered down version of me because that's the only way that I felt like I could show up in order to keep them comfortable. That kind of energy sucks. It's inauthentic and people can feel it in their soul even if they can't feel it consciously. So an example of this in people pleasing and just being inauthentic is staying in a friendship way longer than you really feel like is the best for both of you, because you don't want them to feel bad, right? You don't want them to feel the uncomfortable feelings. But really, it's the most kind and generous thing for you to do to let that friendship go so that they can go find someone who is 100% themselves, and that it actually is a better friendship fit. So reminder here to break this habit is when I am an inauthentic version of me, I'm actually hurting the people around me. And I'm also actually robbing the experience where other people can have the full 100% version of me. You aren't doing anyone favors by dimming your light to make someone else comfortable. Light always brings out more light. It may make people uncomfortable at first, but I promise you, if you show up with an open heart and you keep on shining and you keep on shining and you honor yourself and your decisions, even if you think it's going to make someone else uncomfortable, it'll always just produce more light. Now, one last caveat I want to put here is sometimes you need to show up for people in ways that aren't convenient for you, aren't comfortable, and aren't ideal. So, you know, you have to go to your little cousin's communion, even though you'd rather watch Sex and the City and like smoke a J on your couch that evening, right? Like this happens. And that's not people pleasing if family is a priority to you. And then if that's the case, then you choose your yes as wholeheartedly as I've been encouraging you to choose your no. Because yes, that may not be the most ideal way for you to spend your time, but showing up for your family and being there for those types of moments, maybe that is really important to you. And then if you're doing still what you want to do, right, which is the commitment that you're making in front of you, well, if you're doing what you want to do, why wouldn't you be anything less than your full self? I always say, if I am doing what I want to do, why would I be anything other than happy? So notice this week, how am I people pleasing? How am I sacrificing my own needs, my own joy, dimming my light in order to make other people comfortable? I am working on it right there with you. And if you're enjoying this podcast, if you enjoyed this specific episode, screenshot it, share it to your Instagram and tag me, DM me people pleasing if you'd like that meditation to get to the root of where some of these tendencies can come from. because it's really helpful to bring compassion and to bring awareness to these patterns so that we can break them, we can heal from them, and we can show up as more of our authentic selves, hear our intuition deeper. And if you want to take this work to a deeper level, consider joining one of our Reiki retreats. We have some coming up in September. Just DM me retreat and I'll get you all the info. Oh, I just think y'all are the absolute best. If you want to see my road trip and all the fun, we're going to Ojai and Big Sur and San Francisco and Yosemite and Oregon and Austin. And I just have a lot of exciting life news coming real soon. And I'm so glad you're here to be part of it. Every Tuesday, come to the podcast, She's Too Much. I'll be here. They always drop at 5 a.m. Eastern. All my love, and I'll see you next week. Bye.